Hey, if you can hear me just nice and clear, go ahead and let me know that with the horns. Good, good, good. Folks, of course, we understand that it's a little colder here today. And if you need to run your vehicles, you know, run that heater, you know, I will be extremely envious of you. But if you need to run that vehicle, you know, feel free, you know, start your cars. If you need to shut them down for a minute and restart them, please know that that is just fine. That doesn't bother the service at all. And also, just a reminder, if you're in the parking lot and you lose, you know, the FM signal for just a moment or something, if you just take your vehicle, if you just move it just a few inches, usually that will bring the signal right back to you. And also, I appreciate everyone being patient with me as I decided to throw on a hat and some gloves. It's not all that crazy cold out here today, but that wind is kind of biting. And so, no, I'm not trying to put on a strange look here today. I'm just trying to stay warm. Praise God. I know you'll be you'll understand that. Well, are you hungry for the Word of God here today? Yeah. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to call this message today, Turning Trials into Gold. Turning Trials into Gold. Of course, ever since we've started these drive-in services, ever since this coronavirus thing began, we have been really going back to the fundamentals. We've been going back to the foundational truths of the gospel, and we've just been preaching about salvation and being born again. We've been preaching about righteousness and purity and turning and renouncing the sin on our lives or confessing sin in our lives. You know, we talked about the sacredness and the holiness of our physical bodies and what we do with them. And so we're just going to continue right on, you know, preaching the fundamentals. And today we're going to be preaching things that will help renew your mind and help strengthen your faith. It is so important that in these days and times that we live in, that we keep a renewed mind and remember to think the way God thinks. We got to get that junk thinking out of our minds. We got to get God's thinking in our minds, because then and only then will we make it through this strong, and we'll make it through this unscathed. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so go over to 1 Peter. We're going to go to chapter 1. And we're going to be reading verses 3 through 9, and I'm going to be reading it in the Amplified Bible. Now, I know many of you don't have your Amplified Bibles with you today, but still follow along in your Bible translation. The Amplified Bible is a little wordy, but it helps draw out the original meaning of the Greek and Hebrew that the Bible was originally written in, and it really helps us to understand some things. So I'm going to read this entire passage, and then we'll go back. And today I'm going to give you three things that you need to keep your mind renewed on during this time. Three things to renew your mind and to renew your faith. And we're going to take those things out of this passage. And so today I'm not using my physical Bible. I've embedded the scriptures into my notes. And I'd just like to ask everyone to be patient with me, because the computer program that I'm using to do this, it does not number the verses for me, and so I can't see the numbered verses like you can in your Bible. So if I pause for a moment and I look twice back to my notes, you'll understand why. I did this kind of last minute, even last night in Erie, because with the wind, it makes it very difficult for me to turn the pages in my Bible and so on, especially if I'm wearing gloves. And so let's go ahead. Let's start 1 Peter chapter 1. Starting in verse 3, and I'm reading out of the Amplified, it says, "Praised, honor, and blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are born anew into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay. It is imperishable, unsullied, and unfading, reserved in heaven for you, who are being guarded and garrisoned by God's power through your faith till you fully inherit that final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. You should be exceedingly glad on this account, though now for a little while you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. This proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. Without having seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not even now see Him, you believe in Him and exalt and thrill with inexpressible and glorious, triumphant, heavenly joy. At the same time, you receive the result, the outcome, and the consummation of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Like I said, during this time, we must keep our minds renewed. We must keep our faith strong in the Word of God if we're going to make it through these things unscathed. You know, this past week, I kind of was given an illustration as I was doing some projects around my home. Now, with this whole coronavirus thing, I've had a little extra time on my hands that I didn't have before. Of course, we're not doing a midweek service now. I haven't been taking any counseling appointments and so on. And so I've had a little extra time. Has anybody else had a little extra time on their hands at all? Yeah, maybe a few of us. And so I decided to, you know, give myself, some projects. And one of the things that I enjoy doing is working on old cars. And when I say old cars, I'm not talking about, you know, car show kind of cars. I'm talking about things that were kind of derelict and you bring them back to life. Well, I found this 1966 Chevy Impala, and it is in need of a lot of work. And I decided that I was going to start fixing this car up in my spare time. And when I drove the car, the suspension on the car was so bad that it felt like it felt like you were driving a bar of soap down the road. I mean, you could not keep this car straight. Its suspension was so worn out. Now, what your suspension is, that's just all the parts in your vehicles that keep your tires to the road. Every one of you, I'm looking at all your vehicles, you have suspension parts that that keep your car steering straight and driving tight. And that's your coil springs, your shocks, your ball joints, those bushings in there, all that stuff that keeps you safe and comfortable as you go around sharp turns, as you go around the big bumps, because we don't have any potholes around here, you know? Our roads are so smooth. Have you noticed how smooth the streets are in our area? I mean, it's so smooth, it's like you don't even need shocks. How many of you know I'm kidding? We deal with a lot of, you know, rough roads around here, and it's your suspension on your vehicle that keeps you going over those bumps without shaking you off the road or losing control when you go around a sharp turn. So I tore the entire suspension off this old car and started to install, newer parts, stronger parts, get rid of all that old, worn out, flimsy suspension and start putting in, new, stronger components that'll hold the road, just change the dynamic of that car. And as I was doing that, the Lord started to give me an illustration that that's exactly what renewing your mind is. Get out that old flimsy thinking and reinstall stronger truth in your mind so you're not shaken when you go over the heavy bumps in this life. And of course, I was doing that, I just kind of came up in my heart that no matter what you put on your car, no matter what suspension parts or whatever you do to it, when I was putting those parts on that old car, those new shocks and springs and ball joints and all that stuff, it does not remove the sharp turns that are down my road or waiting for me. How many of you know when you put new parts on your car, it doesn't take away the bumpy roads? It just prepares that vehicle to feel those things less. In the same way, when you get rid of the flimsy thinking out of your mind and you get strong thinking, when you build your faith, it does not remove all trials from coming to you, but it makes you feel them less. You know, and that's exactly what we're doing. Today, we're going to get out some flimsy thinking and we're going to get some stronger thinking. Because if it's not coronavirus, it'll be something else. If it's not a bad economy, it'll be something else. There's many trials that come to us in this life. The goal is not to just avoid trials. The goal is to be prepared for them so you feel them less. You know, the same thing, the same trial comes to us all at one point in this life. But the difference is how prepared each individual is for that trial. Listen, that sharp turn is still waiting for me. Those bumps that were shaking that car right off the road, they're still there. But the next time I go over them with that old car, I'm going to feel it a whole lot less because I put something stronger into that car. In the same way, you put something stronger into your mind and you think like God, you're not going to be shaken by the economy. You're not going to be shaken by the loss of a job. You're not going to be shaken by the news of a virus and how many people have died or gotten sick. Amen. Let's get some strong thinking in us so we're not shaken when these things come upon this earth. And so let's now give you three things to renew your mind here today. Are you ready? Number one, go back up there to verse 3, 1 Peter 1:3, and here's the first thing we're going to renew our mind, because so many times we forget this, and we don't live this, but we've got to. It says, "Praised, honored, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Number one thing to renew our minds here today, we've been born again into an ever-living hope. Now, we're not saying that. The Bible's not saying that to be poetic. The Bible is saying that to renew our minds. We are born again into an ever-living hope. When you made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, you were born with a new nature, and this nature is a nature of hope. Now, when the Bible uses the word hope, it is different from our human definition of hope. When human beings talk of hope, we have a real flimsy definition for it. We'll say, well, I hope something happens. Like, you know, people will say, I hope it happens. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But that's not the Bible definition of hope. The word hope, if you look it up there in the Strong's Dictionary, it means literally, the word in the Greek means joyful expectation. When you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you received a new nature of joyful expectation. Yes, amen. It means you are now a believer. And you need to stay a believer, right? The same, you know, faith that you use to get saved is the same faith and approach you're supposed to face everything in this life with. Amen. We are, as those that have received an ever-living hope, we are joyfully to expect God to keep us healthy. We are to joyfully expect God to provide for us. We are joyfully to expect that God is going to protect us. God is going to provide for us. Amen. We have received a nature that thinks the best, believes the best, and believes that God is always going to be faithful to his covenant no matter what we're facing. Our nature is we are born into an ever-living hope. That means not just in heaven someday, but right now, we are living in this constant, joyful expectation. Whether it's coronavirus, I joyfully expect my Lord and my God to protect me. Whether it's a bad economy, I joyfully expect my God's going to feed me. My God's going to provide for me. He's going to protect us. If you lost a job, I'm telling you, you can joyfully expect Him to provide another one. Yes, amen. You know, I understand that there's a lot of people facing some tough times right now, but notice that the trials on this earth should not take away our joyful expectation of God being there for us. Amen. That's our new nature. See, a joyful expectation sure is better than the complaining doubter that says, oh my goodness, you wouldn't believe what happened to me. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to make it. Oh, the news said this, or the doctor said that, and oh my goodness, you know, everything is so hard and everything is so bad. Folks, that does not sound like an ever-living hope when we talk like that. But what it, you know, an ever-living hope means God is going to be faithful to His covenant. Amen. We are born again into this new hope. Our goal in life, I wasn't born into a life of sadness. When I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I didn't get the nature of sadness. I didn't get the nature of weakness. I didn't get the nature of self-pity and a desire for just sympathy from other people. When I got born again, I got a new nature of ever-living, joyful expectation. Amen. Of my God is going to be there. Listen, He was there for us before coronavirus. He'll be there for us during it. He'll be there during a tough economic time. But if you're letting the loss of a job or the loss of money or bad news, if it's stealing your joy, folks, I'll tell you, if we're letting go of that ever-living expectation, it should not be. Then we're inviting more trouble into our lives. But listen, we have not been born again into a complaining life. We've been born again into a joyful expectation. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so if, you know, you've been looking at the news and getting worried, you better get that flimsy thinking, you know, out of your mind. You better replace it with stronger thinking. Let me show you why we can have joyful expectation. You're in 1 Peter chapter 1. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. You're right there, just one book away. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me show you why you can have joyful expectation and how to have it. Woo! Yeah, we're having hurricane force winds up here. Praise the Lord. If you see me start to, you know, float away, don't get concerned. That doesn't mean the rapture is taking place or anything. It's just very windy up here. Oh, praise the Lord. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 1 and go to verse 3 and 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. This is why you can have joyful expectation. It says, "For God's divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are required and suited to life and godliness, through the full personal knowledge of Him who called us by and to His own glory and excellence and virtue. By means of these, God has bestowed on us His precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, the rottenness and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and you can become sharers, partakers of the divine nature." Go back up there to verse 3. Notice where it says God's divine power has bestowed on us all things required for life and godliness. Now notice it says God has bestowed these things on us. Notice it didn't say God will bestow. Notice it's past tense. Notice in God's mind, it has already happened. Everything that you require for life on this earth has already been provided for you. God does not need to do anything more, all right? So when we go to God and we say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. God, do this. God, do that. Oh, Lord. When we do that, we are demonstrating that we don't believe that it's already been bestowed. See, as believers that have a joyful expectation, we are supposed to already know God has provided every answer to every test before it ever even showed up. Everything you need has been bestowed already upon you right now. You say, well, Pastor, well, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. I'll explain that in just a moment. But when we go to God, for instance, if you lost a job or if your income has been tested or if you're going through, you know, a physical trial in your body, let me ask you this. Do you need health, you know, as you live on this earth? Do you need physical health and strength? All right, one person says yes. You need health. How many of you know, do you need finances in this life? Yes, you do. Do you need a job? Yes, you do. Do you need strong family relationships? Yes, you do. Do you need a peaceful mind free of depression and anxiety? Yes, you do. All right? Notice all these things have already been bestowed upon you. God is waiting for you to know that and to believe that. So when I go to the Heavenly Father, it's not like, oh, Lord, please give me a new job. Oh, Lord, please give me health in my body. When we go to the Lord, we go with knowledge and we say, Father, you have already bestowed everything I need in this life. Father, you have already provided all the health I need. So therefore, in Jesus' name, I just receive the health that you have for me. Father, in Jesus' name, I receive the provision and financial help that I need in this life. Doesn't that sure beat the worry and the complaining and, you know, wondering if you're going to make ends meet? It sure does beat complaining about it. But we are supposed to already know. This is why we can live in joyful expectation. So whether the economy gets better or worse tomorrow, my God has already bestowed upon me everything I need in this life. No matter if more people get sick or if more people died, listen, God has already bestowed upon us all things required for life. Amen. We're not looking to hopefully, you know, the human side kind of hope, like maybe God will, maybe he won't. No, he told us he has already bestowed everything you need in this life. He's waiting for you to talk to him like you've already got it. He is waiting for you to say, Father, I've got everything I need. See, get that old flimsy suspension out. That old flimsy suspension that's sitting there, you know, shaking and shuddering and wondering if, you know, everything's going to be okay. Listen, you know, we know that there's going to be hard times that happen in this earth. You can't prevent them all. So you can't prevent all the potholes. You can't change all the sharp turns. But I'll tell you what, you can replace the flimsy suspension if you need to. Get that flimsy way of thinking out of your mind and get it into your mind that God has already provided everything you're ever going to need. Folks, this sounds like the Heavenly Father is telling us it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And see, now you go down to verse 4, and this is how you receive all things required for life and godliness. Look at down there at 2 Peter 1:4. Notice where it says, by means of these, God has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through God's promises you will escape from the moral decay, the rottenness and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness. Notice when God says, I've given you everything you need for life, he's talking about his promises. Now, usually this is where I'd pick up my Bible. It's not quite the same effect when I pick up my iPad. But if you have the Bible, you have all the promises of God. Everything your life needs is already in there. And if you'll take those promises, if you'll put them in your heart, if you'll release them through prayer and through faith, through the words that you speak, all those things required for you in life, they will show up. God is not a liar. God is not mocked. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. God is not going to fail you. But listen, where we fail God is that we fail to go to the promises to get what we need. God loves it when we just say, Father, if I've got your promises, I've got everything I need. Listen, I'll tell you what, the loss of a job cannot stand in comparison to the promises of the Lord. Listen, physical symptoms or anxiety and depression, they cannot stand against the word of Almighty God. Amen. So how do we have this ever-living hope? Because we live life knowing all the things I need required for this life, God has already given them to me. They're right there in your Bible. If you'll get those promises, bring them to the Father. You know, so many times we go to God and we have a weak way of approaching him. And we think like, Lord, I know your Bible says this, but will you actually do that? If you talk that way to God, that's an insult to him. To take his word and act like it may or may not happen. Listen, you can never compliment anybody by questioning their word. God is not complimented when we wonder if his promises are so. But if you'll go to his word and say, Father, you said it, therefore I believe it, therefore I have all things required. You're going to have to get bold. Amen? Going to have to get bold. You have an ever-living hope. All right. Here's the second thing we're going to renew our mind to. Now go back over to 1 Peter chapter 1. You were just in 2 Peter chapter 1. Go back over to 1 Peter chapter 1. All right, and go on over there to verse 5. And I'm going to give you the second thing that we're renewing our mind and strengthening our faith with here today. Isn't it good to know? Listen, if the stock market crashes today, guess what? God is still giving you all things required for life and godliness. The stock market can't take away the promises of God. Your boss can take away your employment, but they can't take away the promises of the Lord. Amen. Sickness or worry or whatever may come against you, but they can't take away the promises. Amen. We got to get that flimsy thinking out. If we're going to live in this life, we better think strong. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The Bible says over there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, be not conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? So that tells us the world is in the problems they are in because they think like weak people. Weakness has gotten into the minds of people that don't know Christ. And the Bible says if you want to be transformed out of the image of the world and transformed into the power of God, then renew your mind. Right? And stop thinking like the weak world. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, here's the second thing. Go back over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Notice this statement in the Amplified. It says, until you inherit that final salvation. Now, if you're reading in the Amplified Bible, it says, until you inherit the final salvation, at the appearing of Christ. So when it says at the final salvation, that statement just jumped off the page to me. And I started thinking, the final salvation? Well, if there's a final salvation, that must mean that there are other salvations. Now, bear with me. At first, this might sound a little confusing, but I will show you what I mean. I'll make it clear, all right? Here's the second thing that we need to renew our mind to. We need to renew our mind to the salvations, plural, within our salvation, singular. We need to renew our minds to the salvations that are included in our salvation. Now, I'll explain that right now. Christians usually have a very general definition of the word salvation. When you talk about salvation with a Christian, we will usually think about the big picture. We will think of, you know, our sins have been washed, therefore we're going to heaven and we are saved, or we have salvation. Now, those things are true, but that's just generally the big picture. But the scripture makes it clear that there's a lot of different kinds of salvations and deliverances that are included in the big picture of salvation. All right, it's kind of like those little wooden Russian dolls. Have you ever seen those wooden Russian dolls, those folk dolls or whatever they're called? And you ever seen those things and they're just one when you look at it, and then you pop that thing open and then there's another small, little bit smaller wooden doll on the inside, and then you pop that one open and there's another one and another one and another one all the way until you get to that real small doll. And inside that big wooden doll, there was like five or six smaller wooden dolls. How many of you have ever seen that, those things before? All right. I remember as a kid, I don't know if it was my mom, my sister, somebody had one of those things. I remember being just a toddler and taking that thing apart and how interesting it was to discover, hey, there's a, oh, I'm admitting I was playing with dolls. Hey, we got a horn beat for that. All right. No. Anyhow, someone bail me out. Justin, Scott, somebody up here. All right, thank you for that. All right, but as a little kid, I was so preoccupied, you know, oh, hey, there's more inside this big doll, you know. In the same way, it's like that with our salvation. When you get born again, it's not just that your sins are washed and that you go to heaven someday. That's the big picture, and that's the most important thing. But there's more included. There's other salvations within your salvation. God doesn't just want to save you at the last day. God wants to deliver you and protect you and provide for you every day. God has a saving and delivering hand for you today, not just at the very last day. Amen. Glory to God. Let me show you this in the Bible. Go with me. Just turn back to Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. Oh, praise the Lord. The salvations within our salvation. It's kind of like the dolls inside the one wooden doll. All right. Romans 1:16. Now I'm going to read this in the King James. It says, Paul the Apostle says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." All right, notice the word salvation in Romans 1:16. Now, if you look up that word salvation in the original Greek, it's not just to go to heaven someday. Let me read you God's definition of salvation. Are you ready? Praise the Lord. Here we go. Salvation means, literally, in Romans 1:16, and this word is used all throughout the New Testament, it means to rescue, to keep safe, to deliver. It also means to provide health. And I like this. This is one of my favorite definitions. It means a constant saving. A constant saving. Now, we're not talking about that you have to get, you know, re-saved every day. You know, we're not, you know, once you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you know, your sins are washed. You don't have to get born again every day. That's not what we're talking about. But it means a constant deliverance, or God's constant saving hand, not just in the last day, but every day. How many of you know God wants to deliver you on a daily basis? He wants to protect you on a daily basis. Listen, there's going to be a lot of things here in this life. Let's make sure nothing blows down on me here. I don't want to be standing in front of this heater and have this thing start to come down on me. We don't need to be playing any windfalls up here. But how many of you know there's many trials in this life? God wants to deliver you. He doesn't want to just bring you to heaven someday. He wants to show you his delivering power every day. His delivering power through, whether it's coronavirus, His delivering power through a bad economy. God wants to show you His delivering power through sickness and disease or depression and anxiety. Glory to God. My God isn't here just to save me from my sin. Thank God, that's first and foremost. But my God is here to deliver me from my enemies. God is here to save me from economic collapse. God is here to save me against a virus attack in this world. Amen. Let me show you this again. Go back to Psalm 91. Go back to Psalm 91. Aren't you glad that there are salvations within your salvation? See, when Christ returns, you're going to receive the final salvation. You're going to be delivered, right, from the great tribulation. You're going to be delivered from the catastrophe that is about to take place on this earth, right? And so we know that that's the final salvation when we get taken up to heaven with the Lord. But that's not the only salvation. Let me show you this in the Word again. Psalm 91, go to verse 14. Psalm 91, verse 14. This is talking about what God will do for those that love Him. Do we have anyone here that loves God here today? All right. Well, then these verses were written to you. We're going to read Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16. I'm in the Amplified Bible again. He says, this is God speaking to those that love Him. It says, because you have set your love upon me, therefore I will deliver you, or save you. I will set him, the one that loves God, on high, because he knows and understands my name. He has a personal knowledge of my mercy, my love, and my kindness. He trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him, no, never. Do you know that here today? God will never forsake you. But I'll tell you what, do you know when you start complaining and worrying, you know what you're basically saying? You're saying that God has forsook you. When you start to worry about stuff, you're acting like God went somewhere or left you to your own devices. He hasn't gone anywhere. God has not stopped loving you. God has not stopped providing for you. He hasn't left His throne. Amen. Glory to God. It says, now down there in verse 15, it says, He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him or save him out of troubles and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now notice he's talking about salvation on earth, not just salvation in heaven. See, in heaven there are no troubles. In heaven, God will not need to deliver you from your enemies or sickness or depression or whatever it is, all right? But notice when he says, I will show you long life, I will grant you long life and show you my salvation. David was facing enemies and armies that were trying to kill him. He was facing, you know, a civil war and people that wanted to murder him and take his life. And David is saying that God will cause me to live long on this earth because he will daily show me his saving, delivering power. Amen. And so salvation is not just when you have your sins removed and when you go to heaven. Salvation is a daily protecting of God's hand over your life, delivering you from enemies, delivering you from troubles, honoring you and setting you above a world of destruction. Aren't you glad? I'll tell you what, it sure is better to think this way than to think the world's way. I mean, my goodness, if you listen to the world, you know, they'll give you a picture in your mind of being dead tomorrow. If you listen to the world, they'll draw a picture in your mind that you're going to lose it all and lose everything. Listen, if you've got the promises of God, you cannot lose everything. If you know that God has already given you everything required for this life and godliness, they can't take it away from you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so the salvation of the Lord includes salvation from enemies, troubles, sicknesses, distresses, and destruction. Aren't you glad? God needs somebody to be an advertisement for him down here. He needs somebody that you can see God's saving hand is on them. I don't need just the final salvation. I need daily the delivering hand of God. Amen. Did you get something out of that? Praise the Lord. All right. Here's the third and final thing, and this is the title of our message here today. The third thing to renew your mind is that you can turn trials into gold. Turn trials into gold. Now, you're in 1 Peter chapter 1. Go down to verse 6. We're going to read verses 6 through 8 again, and let me show you what I mean by turning trials into gold. All right, verse 6 says, "You should be exceedingly glad on this account." See, the Bible says Christians should be exceedingly glad that they've got the promises of God. We should be exceedingly glad that God has provided everything that we need. Yeah, we should be exceedingly glad. Well, I'll tell you what, if you look at most Christians today, you'd think that it says they should be exceedingly sad. No, we should be exceedingly glad on this account, though now on this earth, for a little while, you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations. So notice, in this life, on this earth, there are distressing trials and temptations. We know that trials don't exist in heaven, they exist on earth. Temptations don't exist in heaven, they exist on earth. So he's talking to us who are still on this planet, right? He said, you got to be exceedingly glad, even though you're facing distressing trials and temptations, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire, this proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. Folks, here is the third thing that we need to renew our minds to. If you are facing a trial, if you are facing hardship in your body, if you are facing a loss of a job, if you are facing illness or depression or whatever it is, all right, you need to remember and understand this. What are you living for? Okay? What is your goal? Stay with me. Bear with me. As a pastor, I see a lot of Christians. Their main goal in life is to just get out of the hard spot. Their goal is just to get out of the trial, no matter what it takes. And of course, we know that trials aren't fun. You know, it's not fun to lose money. It's not fun to be, you know, have pain in your body. It's not fun to face this stuff. No one's trying to make it sound like it is fun. All right? But a lot of Christians, their main goal is just get me out of the trial. Folks, if that's our main goal, then we're just living for today. Then we're just living for our stuff. Then we're just living for that which is precious to us. Because what is gold to us is different than what is gold to God. So often what's gold to us is getting the money we need, getting the peace we need, just getting, you know, the job we need, getting the health we need, and that's what we think about. But when you are facing a trial and you do not let go of your faith, if you do not give up on your faithfulness, see, yes, God wants you to have health. God wants you to have more financial help, more provision and stuff like that. But that is not God's priority. God's priority in your life is that you stay faithful and that you are unchanged in what you believe, even though you're in the midst of the trial. Folks, how many of you believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again? Is there anyone that believes that? All right. He's coming back in this passage of Scripture. When Jesus comes back, he's not going to be there to say, hey, let's talk about the job that you got, or let's talk about, you know, the raise that you got. Let's talk about the car that you got or the house that you got. He's not going to be talking about that. Those things, though they are blessings from the Lord, that is not gold to God. What is gold to Him is when you keep your faithfulness, you release your faith, even when you are in the midst of the fire. You know, so often we live to get out of the trial, but we need to live for the day when we stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to live on that day when the Lord, you know, stands in front of us and says, well done. You went through a hard situation, but you kept your faith. You went through that tough time, but you kept on praising me. You kept on serving. You kept on giving. You kept on being in church. You just did not give up because you were in a hard time. That's what's gold to God. And so oftentimes when we go through trials, we think about what we might lose. But think of it this way. Renew your mind this way. When you're in the midst of that trial, you have an opportunity to bring the Lord some gold. You have an opportunity to offer Him. That is what is gold to God. God is not going to ask you how much money you died with. He's not going to ask you what you got in your savings account or, you know, what kind of, you know, fancy things you have in life. Listen, praise God for provision. God is an abundant, prosperous God, but He wants your faith before anything. And so often, you know, we look at our trials as what it's going to cost us. But if you're going through something here today, you have a golden opportunity, literally, to offer something more precious than anything on this earth. Something more valuable to the Father. See, your trials aren't about you. They're about Him. Your trials are not about, you know, if you could just get out of them. Your trials are about being faithful and about bringing God that precious gold of your faith. Amen. Did you get something out of that? Praise the Lord. Our society has become all about ourselves. Our society has become selfish with a focus on self. We live in the notice me generation. We live in the look at me generation. And that mentality has gained entrance into the church. If we're not careful, faith will become all about what we can get and less about living for the day when we stand before Christ at His appearing. See, the unrenewed mind says, this trouble is going to hurt me. It's going to hurt my finances. It's going to hurt my plans. But the renewed mind says, this is an opportunity to prove my faithfulness. This is an opportunity to prove my fearlessness. This is my opportunity to use God's promises. This is an opportunity to watch the Lord's salvation work on our behalf so that He would receive the praise and honor and glory. Listen, I'll tell you what. If you're facing something, this does not have to be your darkest hour. Can be your brightest hour. But folks, you're going to have to get into the promises of God. You're going to have to renew your mind. We're going to have to get that flimsy way of thinking out. All right? When we start worrying and panicking, you're just thinking like a weak world. We're going to have to remember this is an ever-living hope. God is there every single day. I don't have to lose my joyful expectation. Listen, if your joyful expectation left with the job, you can see where your joy was being placed on. You know, if your joyful expectation goes away because pain or something got onto your body, then we can see where we were putting our joyful expectation. If our joyful expectation can just leave because of a trial, then we've probably misplaced it. You say, well, Pastor, you know, you make it sound like we're supposed to be invincible. Well, listen, the Lord knows that we're living in flesh. God knows what we're facing on this earth. But I just believe that His hand is more than enough to protect us and to guard us every single day of our lives. You say, well, Pastor, aren't you worried about that virus? Nope. Aren't you worried about the economy? Nope. Aren't you worried about the church's finances? Nope. I'm not at all. Oh, aren't you worried about this? Aren't you worried? Nope. Well, Pastor, aren't you worried about me? No, I'm not worried about you. And if you've come to a church looking for a pastor who's just going to take pity on you, and just looking for, you know, ministers who will just feel sorry for you, I'm not here to feel sorry for you. I love you. Of course I have compassion. And I know it don't sound like it right now, but I'm telling you, I do. Because compassion is when we help people. Compassion is when we help people think right and strengthen them. And not just say, oh, poor baby. Listen, I'm here to tell you, God is more than enough. He is still Al Shaddai. He is still the provider. He's still the healer. He's still our Savior, our God, who will never forsake us. He will never let us be destroyed. And so we have a choice in this life. We can either think strong or we can think weak. And I've just decided that we're going to have a church that's going to think strong. So when you leave here today, here's your homework assignment. Go before God. Father, you have already given me everything required for this life. No matter what trials I walk through, Lord, your promises will never let me down. Father God, I believe that when Jesus appears, I'm going to offer a pure faith. I'm going to offer a faith that never gave up, that never gave in. I'm going to offer Jesus a fearless faith. Amen. Glory to God. A faith that did not panic or worry. Did you get some help out of this here today? We have got to keep these things renewed in our mind if we're going to make it through this thing unscathed. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, we are. Life is going to get back to normal. We're going to get back into this building. We're all going to be standing next to each other. We're going to be lifting holy hands. That day is coming. Amen. And so, glory to God. And so, let's go ahead right now. Let's, right there in our vehicles, let's close our eyes, bow our heads, and we'll get ready to dismiss. Father God, we just praise you and glorify you today. Father, you are so faithful and so good. Lord, you have given us new life and ever-living hope. Father, we know that you have given us all things required for life and godliness. Father, we know that your precious promises will never let us down if we will get into those promises and believe them and live for them. Father, we thank you there are many salvations within our salvation. We don't just look for your delivering hand on the last day. We look for your delivering hand every day. And Lord, we thank you so much, Father, that we can turn trials into gold. We don't have to look at this like we're going to lose everything. We can look at this like we can give you some gold. Father, that we can bring you our faith. And Father, you are so good. We worship you. We praise you today. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Folks, I know we have several visitors here today. If you're here and you are unsure about your eternal salvation, I invite you to not leave this parking lot today until you are sure. You know, the Bible says that we can absolutely be sure about our salvation, about our eternal destiny. You know, the Bible says over there in 1 John 5:13, it says, "These things we have written, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know you've called upon the name of Jesus Christ." And so if you're here today and you are not 100% sure about your eternal home, in a moment I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. And I invite you to pray this prayer with us, with all of your heart. Speak these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your head. God will hear you because they're going to be based on the Bible, not me. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you shall confess or speak with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So notice we speak with our mouth, we believe with our heart. When we do that sincerely, God will hear us. And so I invite everybody here within the sound of my voice, everyone in the parking lot, we have many that are watching by live stream, pray this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you're here today and you prayed that prayer for the first time, God heard you. He loves you. And of course, this parking lot is filled with people that have already made that decision before. Hey, let's just go ahead and show everybody. If you've made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life and you're not ashamed to admit it, go ahead, beep those horns. Amen. And so we do that just to show you that no one here would ridicule you. Just the opposite. We would rejoice with you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, we're just going to celebrate with you. But we just invite you to be bold with God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it with all your heart, can you just go ahead and hit your horn for us? Is there anyone here today? Yeah, all right. We have some horns beeping back here. God loves you. You know, praise the Lord. We just love you. We invite you, if you just made Jesus your Lord and Savior, get into a Bible teaching church. Learn God's Word every single week, you know. And hey, I know where there's a good Bible teaching church. There's one right here, and we'd love to have you every single week. Folks, we just love you. We appreciate you. Mothers, happy Mother's Day to you. We just love and appreciate you. Can we go ahead just one more time and just tell the mothers how much we love them? Praise God. We just love you so much. Folks, I'm going to be down there. Of course, we're going to get ready to receive our normal tithes and offerings. The ushers are at our exits. Church family, you know what to do. You can just drop something into the bucket. If you're visiting here today, please don't feel obligated to give. If you want to be a blessing, you certainly can. But we're just so glad to see you. And the only thing better than having you here today would to be have you here every week for our drive-in services. God bless you, everybody. We love you.